Listen from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, chapter 27, verses 1 through 6, and verses 11 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me up on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me as his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusation. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Our New Testament readings come first from Acts chapter 2, 43 to 47, and from the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Acts 2. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and sights performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone they had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, reads, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money in the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For the last 3 weeks, Trinity has embarked in a sermon series called All In For Jesus. All In For Jesus. The word all, as a pronoun, is used to refer to the whole quantity or extent. As a noun, the word all means the whole of one's energy or interest of a group. Listen to one of the questions from our profession of faith asked in every single baptism, confirmation, and receptions of new members. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole truth in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nation, and races? On the first week of this series, the passage of John chapter 14, verse 6 was unpacked. In this text, Jesus was ready to go back to God. He wanted to explain one more time to the disciples that through His death and through His resurrection, they were provided a way, a path to connect back to God. I am the way, I am the truth and the life, Jesus whispered. I am. With this statement, Jesus revealed Himself to the simultaneously the access to and the embodiment of life with God. I am the way. With this statement, Jesus identified Himself with a symbol that was familiar in religion and cultures of the Eastern Mediterranean world. With Jesus' wisdom tradition, the word way signifies the lifestyles of the wise. When Jesus said that He was the way, He was saying that the ways, the promise of the possibility of unity with God, because in Him one meets the truth of God. Jesus, my friends, said, I am the truth. To recognize Jesus as the truth is to affirm that as the Word made flesh, Jesus made the truth of God available to the world. He is God's truth and life giver. He is the truth, the revelation of God. Jesus said, I am the life. When Jesus identified Himself as the life, He claims God's life given for Jesus as to serve as to the eschatological hope. We can say that in this verse, this is the central theological conviction of the gospel. Jesus, my friends, is the tangible presence of God in the world. And do you say, Amen, Amen? Last week, we looked at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And we read it and we studied to know why we follow Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why I follow Jesus? Why you follow Jesus? Is it tradition? Is it a routine or an obligation? Or is it the moral things to do? Do you really know why you follow Jesus? You see, in this passage, Jesus is portrayed as the good shepherd. Sheep, my friends, recognize the shepherd's voice. And in doing so, He shows us the closeness of this relationship. It presents a simple picture of the work of the shepherd and his flock that corresponds to the practical of the Mediterranean world. The shepherd has the largest role, coming to the sheep, calling them by name, and leading them to great pastures. Do you think that this is what Jesus offered for us and do for us? Jesus called us by name, each one of us by name, and said to us every single day, "You are my beloved child. I loved you. I need you. And I invite you to be in a relationship with me." But our responsibility on the other side is to recognize his voice, is to trust him, and to follow him. Friends, why we follow Jesus? We follow Jesus because through him we are saved and reconciled with God. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, he is our best friend. Why we follow Jesus? You know, because we will be lost without him. Because we were created to be in a relationship with him, we are incomplete without him. Why we follow Jesus? Because he is our hope and our fortress. Because through him, we are offered eternal life. Today is the culmination of our sermon series, All In For Jesus. And we are going to talk about how we follow Jesus. You see, in the book of Acts, the reading that we just read, we read that Peter, just before those verses that we read, that Peter preached a powerful sermon. And what was the outcome? The outcome was that thousands of people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? What a joy. What an accomplishment. But do you know what happened after people gave their lives to Jesus? After we do evangelism? You know, then we have to help them. We have to teach them about this faith. This is the church responsibility. We need to help those who come into faith. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And what Jesus called us to do? And so when these people received Jesus Christ and converted into this new faith, the disciple needed to teach them, to get them together, to talk them about the religious practice, worship, prayers, and sharing all goods. Friends, in Acts chapter 2, it just gave us and unpacked for us how we can follow Jesus. And in this church, we have an enormous opportunity to follow Jesus and to do God's will and to work for him and to be the hands and feet of Christ. You have so much. Here, we don't have an excuse to follow and to do God's will. You know, Reverend Deb gave me these booklets, All In For Jesus, which is a narrative budget. So beautiful. I hope you have it at home, and if you don't, we have it at the church office. We believe we have it here in our church. Oh, this is so beautiful. The pictures, you're probably in one of these pictures. And in this booklet, it tells us everything that we do here at Trinity to follow Jesus. You see, I was also talking to Pastor Deb as we were getting ready for this service. And one time I called her, and she said, "I'm busy, I'll call you later. I am doing a small groups for spiritual gift." You know, if we don't know what you're good, just take the spiritual gift inventory and it will show us, and she would lead you to know what is your passion, what are you good for. Friends, in this booklet, you find all the ministry here at Trinity. We have everything. We have so many small groups for you to learn about God, for you to get closer and deeper into the Word of God so you are able to know God's will. We have tons of missions. We have missions in this town. We have missions in this nation. And yes, we can go and do missions in the world. As a matter of fact, when I was serving in this church, I had the opportunity to go to Haiti. And my husband, Sam, had the opportunity to go to Peru. When I was here, I had the opportunity to go to Midnight Run, an excellent mission that is only 1 hour here. You know, when the pandemic started, I called Pastor Frank and I said, how can I help Trinity? And I think it was around the second week. And then he texted me and he said, I'm gonna take your offer. Can Sam and you can come and unpack so many boxes of food that we have in the food pantry? And boy, we have so much. There's a whole truck full with tons of boxes. So much. I mean, it's a whole enterprise. Have you ever been inside the Lord's pantry? It is amazing. It's like a small supermarket. And we just gave 2 hours of our time to serve the Lord. And then we went back home, turned our computers, and continue working. There are so much to do to work for Jesus in this place. We have youth, we have children ministry. I also had the opportunity to witness here when I was serving 150 children shouting out for Jesus and 100 volunteers. Yes, anything that you're good at it, we have it here. Come and learn and serve God through this church. We want you. Jesus wants you. We need you. Jesus needs you. But there's one more tangible way in which how we can follow Jesus. In Acts 2, the new disciples that came into faith gave up their finances so others can continue giving their lives to Jesus Christ. So others could be fed, so others could be disciples. Another example of giving is the story of the widow from the Gospel of Mark. You see, in ancient Israel, the loss of a husband was a social, cultural, and economic tragedy. If the widow had no children, it made matters worse since she had no children to help her work the land. When the widow went to the temple to give her offering, she gave literally everything, 2 copper coins. And so the widow teaches us this morning to love and trust God no matter our situation. And more importantly, to trust God with our finances. I remember it was 2008, and it was my first few months serving here, and we had our stewardship campaign. I remember we were worshiping at Star Hall. Remember, we were off this sanctuary for 6 months because we were fixing and getting ready this beautiful sanctuary. And so the pastor gave us time and a few weeks and information to think and pray what the Lord required from us. Well, I knew that my time was to worship and to give God my all through my pastoral ministry. I guess my talents were speaking, pastoral care, visitation, and also I knew my gifts and my talent. But it was about to make my financial commitment, our financial commitment. You see, in 2009, my twins, Kayla and Kiana, were starting college. And we saved as much as we could. When the market went down, we lost a lot of that money that we saved for college. And as we were praying, I said to Sam, let us pray to continue giving to God. God deserves at least our 10%. But you know what? It's going to be hard. Kayla and Kiana are starting college. I mean, it's a lot of money to send one of your children to college. We were sending two at the same time. But we prayed. And we said we need to trust God because God will supply. Because we need to trust God with everything, including our finances. It was a special day for us. I still remember, I have goosebumps. I remember when we said, you know what? We're going to trust God with our finances. And we're going to go to the altar of the Lord, and we are going to promise our 10%. And we're going to give that first, and the rest God will provide. Friends, Kayla and Kiana graduated more than 5 years ago, and we have plenty to send them to college, and we have plenty to live. And just this past May, Elizabeth, our little one, finished college. God has been faithful to us because we have trusted God with everything that we have, because we believe that what we have is not ours. Even our finances belongs to God, and we give cheerfully, and we give in faith, knowing that these finances will do great things, helping others to know Jesus Christ. The widow in this story gave everything, herself to God. Do we trust God with our lives? Do we trust God with our talents? But more importantly, do we trust God with our finances? You see, God was all in for us. God gave sacrificially. God gave his son. God gave his best gift, God's only son, Jesus Christ. Giving, my friends, is the fundamental principle of the Christian life. It is the matter of the heart. God creates the Christian heart, a desire to give, to grow in faith. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave. God gave first. And our responsibility is to give back to God what God has given us. God did not give us the leftovers. God gave us their best. Friends, in 2 weeks, November 8th and November 9th, you're going to have the opportunity to come and to give to God your times, your talents, and your treasure. And I'm going to invite you to pray for the next 2 weeks. God, Jesus, reveal to me through the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it that you're asking me? God, if I'm not trusting you with everything that you have given us, I pray that within these next 2 weeks, you show me. You know, giving God our time is going to be difficult because we are so busy, but God will provide. Giving our gifts and our talent is going to be difficult as well because perhaps we are busy as well and we perhaps have other commitments to give our talents and our gift. And giving financially, it might be hard because we have other financial commitments. But if we trust God, if we are faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. I just want to finish our sermon and our time together with this text. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And it says, everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because pressure, because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen.